Today is the 17th day of June. Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Global Campfire. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Gratitude. Grateful to be here with you today on the 20th, 17th day of June. And for the 20th time going through this territory that we are in now, in somewhat complicated territory. We're in the books of Kings, and then we'll be in the books of Chronicles, so we're going to be camping out in this territory for a while. But we have these two kingdoms now that are made up of this one group of people that started with Abraham and that we've been traveling with. It's the story of the Bible. But they have broken into two kingdoms, so we have to kind of keep track of all the different kings in two different kingdoms at this point. But now we have met a very, very famous name, a very powerful prophetic voice in the scriptures, and his name is Elijah. And so we are kind of tracking with him and his interactions. Let's take the next step forward. 1 Kings, chapter 18. A while later, in the third year of the drought, the Lord spoke his word to Elijah. Present yourself to Ahab. I will allow rain to fall on the ground. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. The famine was particularly severe in Samaria. Ahab sent for Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Obadiah was a devout worshiper of the Lord. When Jezebel was killing the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had hidden 100 prophets in caves. He put 50 prophets in each cave and kept them alive by providing bread and water for them. Ahab told Obadiah, "Let's go throughout the countryside to every spring and stream. If we can find grass, then we can keep the horses and mules alive and not lose any animals." So they split up in order to cover the entire countryside. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went the other way by himself. Obadiah was on the road when he met Elijah. Obadiah recognized him and immediately bowed down to the ground. "Is it you, my master, Elijah?" he asked. "Yes," Elijah answered him. "Tell your master that Elijah is here." Obadiah asked, "What have I done wrong to make you hand me over to Ahab to be killed?" "I solemnly swear, as the Lord your God lives, my master has searched for you in every region and kingdom. When people would say, 'He isn't here,' my master made that kingdom or region take an oath that they hadn't found you. Now you say, 'Tell your master that Elijah is here.' This is what will happen. When I leave you, the Lord's spirit will take you away to some unknown place. I'll tell Ahab, but he won't be able to find you. Then he will kill me. I have been faithful to the Lord since I was a child. Haven't you heard what I did when Jezebel killed the Lord's prophets? Haven't you heard how I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in caves? I hid 50 prophets in each cave and provided bread and water for them. Now you say that I should tell my master that Elijah is here? He will kill me." Elijah said, "I solemnly swear, as the Lord of armies whom I serve lives, I will present myself to Ahab." So Obadiah went to tell Ahab. Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, Ahab said, "Is that you, you troublemaker of Israel?" Elijah answered, "I haven't troubled Israel. You and your father's family have done it by disobeying the Lord's commands and following the various Baal gods. Order all Israel to gather around me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Ahab sent word to all the Israelites and brought the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Elijah stood up in front of all the people and asked them, "How long will you try to have it both ways? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." The people didn't say a word. So Elijah told the people, "I'm the only surviving prophet of the Lord, but there are 450 prophets of Baal. Give us two bulls. Let the prophets of Baal choose one for themselves. Cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood, but not set it on fire. I'll do the same with the other bull. You call on the name of your gods, but I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire is the real God." All the people answered, "That's fine." Elijah told the prophets of Baal, "Choose one bull for yourselves. Prepare yours first, because there are more of you. Call on the name of your God, but don't set the wood on fire." They took the bull he gave them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. They said, "Baal, answer us!" But there wasn't a sound or an answer. So they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah started to make fun of them. "Shout louder, since he is a god. Maybe he's thinking, relieving himself, or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping, and you have to wake him." So they shouted louder. They also cut themselves with swords and spears until their blood flowed. This is what their ritual called for. In the afternoon, they continued to rant and rave until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no sound, no answer, no attention given to them. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come over here." So all the people came to him. He rebuilt the Lord's altar that had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes named after Jacob's sons. The Lord had spoken his word to Jacob, "Your name will be Israel." Elijah built an altar in the Lord's name with those stones. He also made a trench that could hold 12 quarts of grain around the altar. He arranged the wood, cut up the bull, and put it on the wood. He said, "Fill 4 jars with water. Pour the water on the offering and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it again." And they did it again. Then he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. The water flowed around the altar, and even the trench was filled with water. When it was time to offer the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward. He said, "Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make known today that you are God in Israel, and that I'm your servant and have done all these things by your instructions. Answer me, Lord, answer me. Then these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are winning back their hearts." So a fire from the Lord fell down and consumed the burnt offering, wood, stones, and dirt. The fire even dried up the water that was in the trench. All the people saw it and immediately bowed down to the ground. "The Lord is God," they said. "The Lord is God." Elijah told them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let any of them escape." The people seized them, and Elijah took them to the Kishon River and slaughtered them there. Then Elijah told Ahab, "Get up, eat and drink. It sounds like a heavy rain is coming." Ahab got up to eat and drink. Elijah went to the top of Carmel and bowed down to the ground to pray. He said to his servant, "Please go back to Mount Carmel and look toward the sea." He went up, looked, came back, and said, "There's nothing." 7 times Elijah told him, "Go back." After the 7th time, the servant said, "A little cloud like a man's hand is coming from the sea." Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, prepare your chariot and leave before the rain delays you." Gradually, the sky grew darker with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. Ahab got into his chariot to go back to Jezreel. The Lord's power was on Elijah. He hiked up his robe and ran ahead of Ahab until they came to Jezreel. Acts 11. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that people who were not Jewish had accepted God's word. However, when Peter went to Jerusalem, the believers who insisted on circumcision began to argue with him. They said, "You went to visit men who were uncircumcised, and you even ate with them." And Peter began to explain to them point by point what had happened. He said, "I was praying in the city of Joppa when I fell into a trance. I saw something like a large linen sheet being lowered by its 4 corners from the sky. The sheet came near me. I looked into the sheet very closely and saw tame animals, wild animals, reptiles, and birds. I also heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill these animals and eat them.' But I answered, 'I can't do that, Lord. I've never put anything impure or unclean into my mouth.' A voice spoke from heaven a 2nd time. 'Don't say that the things which God has made clean are impure.' This happened 3 times. Then everything was pulled back into the sky again. At that moment, 3 men arrived at the house where we were staying. They had been sent from Caesarea to find me. The Spirit told me to go with them without any hesitation. 6 believers from Joppa went with me, and we visited Cornelius' home. He told us that he had seen an angel standing in his home. The angel told him, 'Send messengers to Joppa and summon a man whose name is Simon Peter. He will give you a message that will save you and everyone in your home.' When I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came to these people. This was the same thing that happened to us in the beginning. I remembered that the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit.' When they believed, God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So who was I to interfere with God?" When the others heard this, they had no further objections. They praised God by saying, "Then God has also led people who are not Jewish to turn to him so that they can change the way they think and act and have eternal life." Some of the believers who were scattered by the trouble that broke out following Stephen's death went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and the city of Antioch. They spoke God's word only to Jewish people, but other believers who were from Cyprus and Cyrene arrived in Antioch. They started to spread the good news about the Lord Jesus to Greeks. The Lord's power was with his followers, and a large number of people believed and turned to the Lord. After the news about Antioch reached the church in Jerusalem, Barnabas was sent to Antioch. When he arrived there, he was pleased to see what God had done for them out of kindness. So he encouraged all the people to remain solidly committed to the Lord. Barnabas was a dependable man, and he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. A large crowd believed in the Lord. Then Barnabas left Antioch to go to the city of Tarsus to look for Saul. After finding Saul, Barnabas brought him back to Antioch. Barnabas and Saul met with the church in Antioch for a whole year and taught a large group of people. The disciples were called Christians for the first time in the city of Antioch. At that time, some prophets came from Jerusalem to the city of Antioch. One of them was named Agabus. Through the Spirit, Agabus predicted that a severe famine would affect the entire world. This happened while Claudius was emperor. All the disciples in Antioch decided to contribute whatever they could afford to help the believers living in Judea. The disciples did this and sent their contribution with Barnabas and Saul to the leaders in Jerusalem. Psalm 135. Hallelujah! Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, you servants of the Lord who are standing in the house of the Lord, in the courtyards of the house of our God. Praise the Lord because He is good. Make music to praise His name because His name is beautiful. The Lord chose Jacob to be His own and chose Israel to be His own special treasure. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all the false gods. The Lord does whatever He wants in heaven or on earth, on the seas or in all the depths of the oceans. He is the one who makes the clouds rise from the ends of the earth, who makes lightning for the thunderstorms, and who brings wind out of His storerooms. He is the one who killed every firstborn male in Egypt. He killed humans and animals alike. He sent miraculous signs and amazing things into the heart of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his officials. He is the one who defeated many nations and killed mighty kings. King Sihon of the Amorites, King Og of Bashan, and all the kingdoms in Canaan. He gave their land as an inheritance to His people Israel. O Lord, Your name endures forever. O Lord, You will be remembered throughout every generation. The Lord will provide justice for His people and have compassion on His servants. The idols of the nations are made of silver and gold. They were made by human hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They cannot breathe. Those who make idols end up like them. So does everyone who trusts them. Descendants of Israel, praise the Lord. Descendants of Aaron, praise the Lord. Descendants of Levi, praise the Lord. You people who fear the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord in Zion. Thank the one who lives in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Proverbs 17, 12 and 13. Better to meet a bear robbed of its cubs than a fool carried away with his stupidity. Whoever pays back evil for good, evil will never leave his home. Okay, so on our journey through 1 Kings, yesterday we met this prophet named Elijah. And we begin now to see the prominence of his voice as we continue forward into today, whereas there's this very dramatic showdown between the prophets of Baal and the God of Israel atop Mount Carmel. and that place is commemorated. You can go to the top of Mount Carmel today and look down at the Kishon River below in the valley. And just imagine this all playing out, and it's pretty dramatic and fantastic. So the Northern Kingdom of Israel, which is where Mount Carmel is, we're experiencing severe drought. So that's the Jezreel Valley. And that area is actually like the Valley of Armageddon, right at the base of Mount Carmel. It's very lush. It's a very, very fertile area. And so just to imagine everything dead and severe drought would have been super unusual. But the drought was foretold by the prophet Elijah. Once the covenant was restored, once the people's hearts were won back by God and they repented and returned to God, then the worship of the Baal gods was destroyed, and then the rains came. And we'll learn a lot more from Elijah, the prophet, and then his successor, Elisha, in the coming days. And then we also have really dramatic things happening in the book of Acts that we just cannot overlook, because they fundamentally shape the church as we know it. So Peter has gone into the house of a Gentile, and the Holy Spirit has fallen on this Gentile. His name is Cornelius, and his entire family. And so Peter returns to Jerusalem, and there is some wrestling with that has to happen, because that was not on the radar that could even happen. That Gentiles could receive salvation and the Holy Spirit. And so when Peter gets back and the news has traveled, he's confronted. Like, how could you do this? You went to the house of a Gentile? You even ate with a Gentile? And so Peter is actually in a bit of a conundrum, because he did actually break tradition. And the vision that he had seen in Joppa challenged what he thought he knew about the tradition. And so he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit counterintuitively, not knowing exactly what was going to happen. And what did happen was unexpected. He shares the good news about Jesus with a Gentile family who then receive the Holy Spirit and are baptized. So they're no longer the occupying enemy. Like, what are they now? Brothers and sisters. And how can that be? So Peter's confronted, and he explains, like, the Holy Spirit fell on him just the same way that it fell on us at the very beginning. And who was I then in this moment to stand in the way of God? And how could I? So after the story is told, what could those who are accusing him say? So everybody all of a sudden has all of their framework challenged and stretched out incredibly in the way that they understand what God is doing. It's radical and disruptive for them, because they had grown up in an exclusive kind of separatist culture with an exclusive understanding of who God is, very different than Roman culture. Despite this, God was doing something expansive and far-reaching beyond their exclusive culture, in spite of it all. And so they speak it out. We can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and entering, receiving eternal life. That is a mind shift. And ultimately they rejoiced in this, but this changes everything. And even as this is taking place, believers were fleeing from persecution. And that had begun with Stephen's killing. And they began also to share Jesus among Jews and Gentiles everywhere that they went, and many Gentiles believed. So it's in Antioch, we're told today, a Gentile city, that revival is unfolding. And the Apostle Paul moved to that city then from Tarsus and stayed for an entire year to speak about Jesus and assist in forming the church there. And we're told that it's in Antioch that believers in Jesus were first called Christians. And that is in a Gentile city. So, like, in this day and age, it's hard to wrap our minds around how radical, like how stretching and disruptive and monumental the significance of what is taking place is. Until we, like, actually start to look in the mirror again and allow the scriptures to open our own hearts and start looking at our own biases. Because we have a tendency to be like the early believers in Jerusalem and consider our understanding of God and His will and His ways and His people, that is the beginning and ending of what God will and will not do. And yet, man, the scriptures continually disrupt that notion because God does not have a problem. Like, He will not be confined by human tradition or any human box or understanding of Him. He's God. Beyond our comprehension. And He will do what He will do. He will do what is right. This is what we believe of His nature. It will be perfect and right. It will be correct. He is a good God, but He will do what He will do, regardless of what we think about it. So our posture of heart, the stretching that the early church had, is something that our hearts need to do. To stretch, to go farther and deeper, rather than putting ceilings on what He will and will not do. We also have to humbly rejoice when we see God doing a new thing, even if it forces us, like the early church, to wrestle with what we think we know. And that is called opening our eyes to see. And God may want to be even doing a new thing within us, stretching us in how we even see ourselves in relationship with Him. So, Holy Spirit, we invite You completely. It is a radical thing to say this, and even maybe a little scary to say this, but we open our hearts to You disrupting whatever needs to be shaken within us, trusting that You are good and that You will do what is right, and that no matter the confusion or pain of it, You are after our whole heart to set us free from what is false, from what is in the darkness, and from what will ultimately destroy us. Stretch us, open our eyes. And our part in that is an open heart to You. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is also home base, home base plus. So check it out and get connected stay connected to the journey that we are taking together. The grand voyage through the Bible. You're in the middle of the sixth month already. Such a journey. Man, it's every year the Bible speaks so deeply into my own life and where I am in my own life, and this year is no difference. There are days that I am like hit right in the middle of the forehead with a challenge to the brokenness in me, and that is some of the beauty of the Bible as a relationship, as opposed to like an obligation or a devotion, but as a relationship, something that is a gift from God that will not flinch and will not pacify, will bring truth and comfort, but will illuminate the path to safety, which is our word for the year, safe, that will lead us on a path that is true and right into freedom that we seek. So I am grateful to be on this journey with you. And on this journey through this year, we're celebrating a lot, as much as we can, commemorating as much as we can. And Jill and I were trying to share from our hearts and some of our story, because it's been 20 years, 7 days a week. But it's been hard and it's been costly. And so we're just kind of sharing some of our story, especially through music, because that's what she and I, that's what we were doing before this tsunami of the Daily Audio Bible came washing into our lives. We were in the music industry and we were creators, songwriters. I was a producer, she was a singer. And so we've been kind of revisiting things that we had to kind of reconfigure, and many things that we had to lay down in order to follow a calling and to reclaim and repurpose some of that. So we've been releasing some music. The latest we released a little over a week ago, the 6th of June. And if you haven't heard that episode, she and I come on and talk about it, but it's a song called Love Will Not Care. It's a song that I wrote much before the Daily Audio Bible was ever even a thought or anything on the radio, much before podcasting, like that technology even was invented. I would say the internet was just kind of getting going at that point. So it's been a while, but it has no less meaning. And so check it out. Let the words seep into your heart as words from God to you. But then you may need to say those words to people that you love. And I have so deeply enjoyed those stories. And so, Love Will Not Care. You can stream that anywhere. Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube Music, Amazon Music, Tidal, Pandora, you name it. Wherever you can stream music, you can find it. Put that on your playlist. Make it a part of your daily encouragement. Send it to those that need to hear it. And spread the love as we continue to celebrate the 20th year anniversary. There's also a music video for Love Will Not Care. You can watch that also wherever you can watch such things, like YouTube or Apple Music, etc. And share that. Share that. And the meaning of that to those that you love. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. If the global campfire and being in community and showing up every day and taking another step forward is life-giving and brings value, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I wanted to lift up the mom and the two kids that are living in the car and are unfortunately homeless right now, and the mom is struggling with addiction. Heavenly Father, I'd lift this family up to you, Father. I pray your peace and your love over them, Heavenly Father. I pray your provision over them in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray that the mom encounters you in such a mighty, mighty way that she knows that this addiction is not hers in the name of Jesus. That this is a ploy from the enemy in the name of Jesus. That you did not create her to be this way in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I pray that she sees you, or she knows you, she feels your love in such a way that she asks you to take this from her, that she has absolutely no desire to continue down this road any longer in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray your provision over the family. I pray if there's been damage to the relationship or extending family. I know that there was a mention that extending family doesn't want to let them in because of her addiction. I pray that they are able to see that she's choosing a different path, and that there is restoration in those relationships. There is redemption in the family and then those relationships. And Heavenly Father, I pray, because we all know what is ashes, you turn into beauty. And I pray that that is this situation as a whole. I thank you so much for your love and your care and your cover in this situation. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
This is Ginger, joining the campfire from Indiana. I am a church secretary, and I share the same kind of concerns and joys that the Daily Audio Bible has. Those who have cancer, those who have vision problems, those celebrating birth. But today I just want to focus on a beautiful thing. I walk into the sanctuary of the church. I'm all alone. And I feel a presence. And I'm reminded of the hymn, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace." It's not so much the church building, but I believe that the presence of God within my heart, standing here, is so amazing. And I wanted to share that wonderful feeling with you. Go with God's grace today.
This is from Jovita Treasure, praying for the prayers from this past week for all those who are suffering and worried. May God lift that from you and replace it with peace. And may all of your request be granted, so that from the praise of your lips, many nations will see the power of God and repent and turn from their evil ways before it's too late. For 002, God's Nobody, I want you to know you are God's somebody. You are a child of the King, inheritance to all he owns, to live with him for all eternity. And we just pray that the prophecies of your wife having many nations will be blessed by God, and that this will come to fruition for your lives, so that from the praises of your lips and your family's and friends' lips, that people will see that God is still on the throne and that he answers our earnest prayers. May you all be blessed in the answers to your prayers. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we give praise and glory and honor where it is due. We thank you for all that you do, for listening to our prayers, mighty God. The Lord of hosts sees and knows all. We bless his name, and we thank him for this community and for these righteous children of God lifting up our request to the throne of grace, especially when we are at our lowest. We are lifted the highest. In the name of Jesus, we claim it done. Amen and amen.
Hey, y'all. It's Beloved on the Beach here in Florida, just spending time with the Lord out on my lanai in my God chair, listening to Daily Audio Bible. And I wanted to come on and thank you all for praying for my family and for Emma in particular. We are seeing small steps forward in a better direction. We're seeing her starting to work out and go to the gym. She's also went gluten-free, which she's needed to do for years with her health, and just applied for a job. She's been applying, but this one required her to go in rather than just online, and she did it. So we would love prayers that she gets this job if it's in God's will. She really needs a win, and she's a little stalled out in her maturity and her ability to grow because she really needs to take the next step and get a job. So if you could be praying for that. But I just wanted to come and sing God's praises for these steps forward. They are small, but I know that God can do so much with just even a mustard seed, right? And it's in thanks to your prayer and support. And also lift up my husband, Colin, who is getting ready to get into the interview stage working with a executive recruiting company. So he is getting closer and closer to finding a job. It's been a long 9-month journey, and we're just feeling God's hand and things turning over soon. So thank you all for your prayers. Love you.